As 2024 ends and 2025 begins, a look back and a look ahead on this slice of fresh bread. Welcome to Fresh Bread, a podcast ministry of Grace Bible Church, Gainesville, with Pastor Brandon and Pastor Keith. Well, thanks for clicking on Fresh Bread. Fresh Bread, where we're bringing the truth of God's Word to a starving world. Fresh Bread Podcast 91, and it's our final podcast for 2024. Did you ever think you would live to see 2025 when you were a kid?
Yeah, I think beyond 35 was not in my vocabulary, my thinking at that point.
Yeah.
I do remember, you know, I do remember looking forward to, like, you know, like, wow, 2020 is going to be so far away.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, things like that. I don't even remember, you know, what I would have said was a, you know, long ways away, because I was born in 70. So I would have been, you know, 8 or 9 or 10 at the end of the 70s. And, you know, I would have been looking forward, you know, 20 years maybe. So that would have been 2000. So 2000 would have seemed like a long ways away to me at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure you're in the same boat. So to be at 2025 is almost like, that's crazy.
We're children of the 1900s, so
yes,
we were born in the late 1900s. So,
and I feel more and more removed from this world as I get older. That's for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. Oh, by the way, I'm Pastor Keith. He's Pastor Brandon, and we're going to do a year in review and maybe look a little ahead and see what 2025 has in store. But we're just reminiscing now, because as we were growing up, the year 2025. I was expecting flying cars and all this robots and things like that, but we don't have it yet, but we're getting there. And that's part of the, I think, was we look to the future, the quantum computers and all this stuff. I've heard Glenn Beck say that by 2030, we're not going to recognize our world anymore.
Mm.
And
yeah, I mean, I think that it's interesting, because if you think about, you know, if you think about the amount of change from, say, 1800 to 1900 was, I mean, there was a lot of change, but it, you know, you had, you know, in 1800, you would have been fully horse and carriage.
Mm-hmm.
By 1900, the automobile was beginning to come into the world, and, you know, more popular. And, you know, by 19, you know, there was no flight at that point. It was early 1900s.
1904.
Yeah, 1904, you had flight.
The Wright brother.
And, you know, by the time you get to the, you know, 50s and 60s, you've got the jet age. Get into the 60s and, you know, rocketry and you know, even whether you believe we went to the moon or not, we still have rockets that can,
we did.
We know that, you know, rockets that can go and orbit, get us up into space and orbit, you know, and so that started happening in the 50s and 60s. And so, yeah, I mean, but if you think about from there, you know, you get to 1970 and it, you know, you have rotary phones and, you know, that most people have landlines at that point. We actually had a party line when I was growing up. But, you know, now it's, you know, cell phone in your hand at this point has more computing power than the lunar module had going to the moon. Again, if you believe that's what we did.
I do.
You do. Well, there you go. Not a conspiracy theorist in that way. And so yeah, I mean, the amount of change that there's been in my lifetime has been astounding. And so, yeah, I think I had heard somewhere that, you know, like the information was doubling, you know, like the, I can't remember.
Yeah,
you know,
I
like,
think it was every 18 months, and yeah. Now it's every 8 months.
Yeah, so it's continuing to, like, accelerate.
Yeah.
In terms of it's certainly going vertical in terms of where we are.
Have you heard the quantum computer can calculate what computers now take 1,000 years. They can do it in 5 seconds.
Wow.
I mean, that's how fast they can. That's why they believe that these quantum computers are going to be able to build flying cars and all the stuff that we see from the Jetsons. I know that's dating me. A lot of people don't know who the Jetsons are, but all this sci-fi stuff that we see could actually, and I've heard them even talking about transporting without, you know, flight or anything, transporting molecules from one place to another, kind of like a transporter that we see in Star Trek, which would revolutionize travel around the world. Like, people would just be able to.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not convinced we're going to get there. But, you know, the reason I say that is because, I mean,
that's. We're old.
What's that?
Because we're old. We can't see this technology. Well,
I mean, Is it possible to translate that way? Yeah, actually it is possible because Christ did it, right? I mean, he walked through walls. I mean, he vanished, you know, from the room and he was gone. And, you know, he was able to do that. And he was able to, even when he was in Nazareth and preached in the synagogue and they wanted to throw him off the cliff, he walked out from them. Yeah. So he had that ability. And so it doesn't, I mean, yes, that I think that's possible. You know, I just don't know if that's where, if that's a boundary that the Lord is going to like, yeah. You know, that's a boundary that he's not going to let us cross. You know, that's I think that's where I'm at more than if it's possible or not. I think that it must be possible because he does, you know, our glorified bodies are going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
But I think that's something, my opinion is that's something the Lord is going to reserve for his own, like when we get our glorified bodies, it's going to be that type of, you know, we're going to be able to do those kind of things.
Yeah. We're getting ahead of ourselves because we're kind of moving into the future. I want to kind of go back into the past and talk about 2024. And I just want to hear what you think were the really highlights or lowlights. Let's start with the highlights of 2024, things that just kind of made you go, wow.
Well, I think that, you know, for me, it's hard to not talk about the election.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so fresh, but I think that, you know, watching what happened in 2024 and even some of the things that you and I discussed on Fresh Bread as we got closer to the election, you know, the assassination attempts that happened on Trump and those kind of things that are going on, you know, nationally, you know, on the national stage or the world stage, really, you know, and how you know, even, you know, Biden getting pushed out and, you know, even that the debate with Biden and Trump and how bad Biden was mentally. And now it's coming out that, you know, how much they covered up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that what I'm getting to the highlight is at this point, as I look back, is how the nation moved so hard, right? Like we went from, I was really afraid that we were going to slip into, you know, a left, like progressive mindset and, you know, some of the crazy stuff that they were doing with, you know, trans people in sports and women's sports. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just some of the activism that was there, you know, just some of the stuff that many of the things that the progressive push that was just ungodly and, you know, even abortion, and to see the country like lurch right or toward conservatism was probably a highlight for me in terms of what was going on the national stage. Yeah.
Do you see this as kind of, I've heard him said this, that this is kind of the end of wokeness for a while. Is that getting kind of put on the shelf now?
Well, yeah, that's an interesting, you know, obviously the woke, you know, under the Biden administration, or, you know, I would argue it's just an extension of the Obama administration, because mm-hmm. Obama spent, I think, as much time in Washington or in that area as he ever did as president. So, you know, I think he's behind the scenes, you know, pulling a lot of the change. That's my opinion. I don't know where everybody else is at, but that's my opinion. Matter of fact, I usually use the O'Biden as my
<Yes. laughs>
kind of what I think of. And so I think that the Biden administration has been an extension of the Obama administration. And so the pendulum swung so far left,
yeah,
under Obama Biden that, you know, that we were doing some crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. And I think that people have reacted against that. And now the pendulum is swinging way hard right. And I'm not convinced that's the best thing because I think there's some big dangers there. That has been a highlight. And yes, I think that I think that the woke movement has, I think it peaked, you know, right before, probably, I think you could probably say it peaked at the time of the Biden debate. The Biden Trump debate was the peak of, okay, wokeism and this is the direction we're going. And then once that debate happened, the dominoes began to fall. I'll admit that I was wrong. I thought that, you know, you were going to get the, you know, people really behind Kamala and she was going to, you know, potentially the Hollywood types are going to push her, and they're going to, you know, make this whole thing into the first woman president. But that never materialized. And I think part of the reason it never materialized is because she was that bad a candidate. And so, but what I'm telling you is I think that the woke movement peaked about that time. And then once you start, you know, now you have Trump, the Trump attempted assassination. And I think from that point forward, their goose was cooked. And I think that was the jump right. I think we can trace it all the way back to the debate and to the assassination attempt, which happened, you know, within a few weeks of each other.
So as we look at what's happening, we know that as in a biblical way, Satan is the God of this world, where he is, you know, he's kind of trying to run things and move things around, you know, and God is sovereign, allowing that at this time. Or I don't like the when I use the word allow, right? It's more of a
ordains it,
because usually you look at me with those eyes and you say, it's not ordained. As we look at everything that was happening was actually going against what God had ordained. We look at the family, we look at, you know, police, law and order, all these things that we have. even the sexes, God created male and female. We have that being attacked, which we never thought we'd live to see that day, because for 1,000 years or however, it's always been man and woman. Now, all of a sudden, we have all these mutant, whatever they are, running around, and even people who are thinking they're cats and dogs, and it's just ridiculous stuff. But all that stuff going on now, it's like all of a sudden people are like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, we need to get our feet back on solid ground. I don't know how long this is going to last. I know that, again, as we look at the next 4 years, hopefully, prayerfully, the Lord is giving us some kind of time to prepare. I kind of feel like, I don't know, you kind of feel maybe this way too, that things are, they're not going to get better. They're just going to continue. But this is almost a pause in all of that as we go forward.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of getting into, but looking forward, I'm a little bit pessimistic about this jump rightward. I think that there's some, obviously some good things about it, where, you know, we have the opportunity to make some changes that I think would be positive changes in our country. I think there's the opportunity's there, but I think that it seems to me that there's some forces at play that might take us a direction that I think that would be not good, even though it's right, like right, you know, politically right or conservative. You know, there's a ditch on the other side. You know, there's a ditch, obviously there's a ditch on the left, you know, as well, which we've seen. But I'm a little bit concerned about this pendulum swinging, you know, too far to the right, where we get into the other ditch and, you know, this authoritarian, in a different way, a towards the authoritarian government. And so there's some, I mean, the coalition that Trump has brought together with, you know, Vivek and with Elon and Robert F. Kennedy. And I think there's some dangers there. And I'm not, as I say that, I don't want you to think, I mean, we're much better off with them, mm-hmm. I think, ever been with, you know, a Harris presidency. But as Christians, we need to be wary of both sides, because ultimately we're not going to find our salvation in a government. And, you know, Trump, you know, I think that's the danger that we get into, is that Trump is put on this pedestal by the right, and there's going to be people who try to own him. As a matter of fact, you know, you have this, I don't know if you've heard the last couple of days, the whole immigration, the uproar that's happened with bringing in engineers, specifically engineers, you know, to help with, you know, the technology advances, like bringing them in from India or other places, you know, Asians or Indians, and bring them into the United States. And there, you know, there's been a big uproar within, you know, the MAGA group that, you know, we need to, you know, shut down immigration. You know, we need to really tighten it up and really tighten up who can come. But I think that's taking it too far, personally. I mean, I think that we do need the best and the brightest. And, you know, we need them on our side. And so, but that, there's been this big uproar. And I don't know, it's just, I'm not 100% sure, like, that we're not, there's not, I mean, I am sure there is danger where we're going. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see how it comes out.
I agree with that. I think a lot of the movement is because of Donald Trump. And I think in our lifetime, for sure, we've never seen a political figure like Donald Trump. I almost compare him to almost Winston Churchill kind of figure, where we'll never see the likes of him again. Like a guy that can be almost, you know, almost taken out by a bullet and then prosecuted, trying to be thrown in prison. I mean, all this stuff going on, and then yet he still wins re-election just because of his presence and his personality, whatever it is. He's bigger than life almost. He's a bigger than life character. And once he's gone off the scene, I don't know how Vance is going to, if Vance will continue this turn that we've kind of taken. Like you said, I'm not sure. And I'm old enough to have lived through, you know, Ronald Reagan and all this stuff where it looks like the country is, oh, we're on the right course. And then of course it sways off quickly. And it's almost as if, like we talk about magicians, you know, the way magicians do their tricks is they distract you. They say, hey, look over here at my right hand. My left hand is actually moving the rabbit into the hat. You kind of see things happening all over the place where the leftist agenda, they never stop. They never give up. They're going to push, you know, whatever they're pushing, and it may get, people are going to push back at it, but they're going to come around another way and somehow infiltrate inside. And it never stops. I mean, I saw that with homosexuality, with marriage and things like that. It started way back in the 80s, maybe even the 70s. The feminist movement, the ERA, I remember living through that. I mean, that stuff never stops. They keep coming at you with they change titles and they change the name of it, but it's the same thing, and they keep pushing it. And some of it gets through. Some of it, the people started. I mean, look at our country that we see young kids today. They see, when you even talk about homosexuality as being a sin, they're like, whoa, hold it. You know, they get a little, because it's hitting a nerve. It's like, that's how they grow up. You know, they go to school. Sure. And I was going to ask you, in fact, this question, when we live through everything, remember people always say the right, like us, even as Christians, we talk about a slippery slope, right? If you start going down this road, you open this door, it's never going to close. You take the toothpaste out of the tube, you can't get it back in. People laugh at us for that. They say, this is ridiculous. That's not going to happen. But I'm old enough to have lived through many things where people have said that, and it's come true. I mean, homosexuality is a great example of that, because remember they said, if we allow homosexual marriages, it's going to influence everything. And they kept saying, no, it's not. It's just adding on to, you know, what heterosexual people can do. And then now everything that we feared, as far as now you have them teaching that in school, and that's what people were saying, that's going to happen. And it did.
Yeah. Well, I think here's, okay, I probably have a different concern than you. It's not that I don't have the same concern in one sense that, you know, obviously the enemy has been, more recently, the enemy has been those who are pushing leftist agendas. But let's bring it back to the church. Okay, so the church is to be the pillar and the support of truth. So Grace Bible Church, along with all other faithful churches, are to be the pillar and support of the truth. And so what I'm probably more concerned about at this point is, as the government, as the, you know, kind of the culture shifts right, which is what's happened. I mean, it's kind of been this almost like a rubber band, and you've let it go, and now it's shifting right now. We'll see how it plays out. There is the danger of, you know, obviously, like you say, the left doing the end around and doing something that's gonna create problems. But I think that what we as the church, we need to be aware that there's dangers on both sides. And we need to be willing to stand up, because, you know, what's going to happen potentially is, you know, that, you know, with patriotism and, you know, there's a dark side to patriotism, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with being patriotic. I think that it's good to be patriotic, to love your country, to do, you know, to rah-rah United States, freedom, nothing wrong with that. Okay. But as the pillar and the support of the truth, we need to be willing to call a spade a spade. I know that's an old saying, but we need to be willing to call out both sides. And I think that's going to be the danger for conservative, right-leaning churches, you know, in terms of, you know, where we are, that, you know, we're going to say, well, you know, Trump is more where we are and, you know, we love him and he's a great guy. And I mean, he's made a huge, you know, some of that's true, right? I mean, he's made a huge difference and I can't complain about where he's at and what he's done. I can't complain about what he's done. There's only one or two things that I have somewhat, you know, the abortion thing is a big thing for me, because he's not an abolitionist that way. So that's huge for me. But what I'm concerned is that as Christians, we still are, as the church, we're still the pillar and the support of the truth. And so we have to stand on the truth, even if it's unpopular. We have to stand on the truth and we have to be those who speak out when things aren't what they need to be. And, you know, when, you know, the MAGA movement is moving in a bad direction, we have to be willing to say, wait a minute, that goes against the truth of God's word. We have to have a voice that way. And, you know, whoever the Lord raises up, you know, it's been guys like MacArthur and those guys, Mohler, you know, is probably one, you know, that has had more of a voice over the past, you know, 25, 30, 40 years. And so, you know, the Lord raising up men who have the ability to speak to the culture and to say, you know, speak to what's going on and to say, yeah, this is, you know, where we're going wrong. And, you know, we just need the Isaiahs of the day, the Ezekiels of the day. We need those guys that are going to be willing to call things out. And especially, I think the danger is probably greater in, you know, where we are. And there's some things that I'm not quite comfortable with, you know, that I'm seeing. And I can't, what's interesting is I can't quite put my finger on it. Like, I can't quite put my finger on what's going on, but there's something, to me, there's something amiss. And I don't mean to be the pessimistic guy all the time. And I kind of probably sound like it, but there's something that's more than meets the eye is what I'm telling you.
Huh. I'd be interested in hearing more about that, but,
well, I can't really articulate it because I'm not fully, there's nothing that's happened at this point that I would say, oh yeah, that's a problem. There's nothing that I can put my finger on. It's just and I don't even want to say a feeling because I don't want to get, you know, weird about it, but it's just, as I observe, I'm just concerned that this thing could jump in a direction that is not good. And as the church, we need to be the pillar and the support of the truth. And we need to always, always be willing to speak the truth, even when it's not popular.
I was going to say, how confusing is it to people in the church when we have men who suddenly, like Alistair Begg, or all of a sudden they're, I don't say they're embracing homosexuality, but they're saying, look, it's okay. Homosexuality is okay. Has the church just been hammered so much that God is love, that, okay, you know what, let's just bring in homosexuality. It's fine. You know, God will love them. It's not a big deal. Maybe we made too big of a deal out of it. Does that confuse people even more?
Well, I think it does. But again, what I'm concerned about is the backlash. I'm concerned about jumping, like, the pendulum swinging, or, you know, the rubber band, you know, being released, where, you know, where we jump hard right, and, you know, things that, you know, it's interesting, because if you go to many Southern Baptist churches, they preach more about patriotism than they do about the word. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of touching on the danger that I'm concerned about, is we've been fighting this battle for so long, this progressive homosexual agenda, the gay agenda, the, you know, now the transsexual agenda, the abortion agenda. We've been fighting that so long. Now all of a sudden it's all changed. I mean, that's all still there. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that that's gone, but all of a sudden the momentum that they've had has been broke, right? It's been changed, and the country is now potentially going in a different direction. I'm concerned at what that direction is going to be. And, you know, because that hasn't all been shaken out yet. And we're not going to start seeing that until, you know, January in 20th or whatever it is for the inauguration. We're not going to, you know, fully understand that agenda until, you know, till then, until that starts being rolled out. We're getting glimpses of it, but you know, with some of the appointments that he's making. And I haven't been against those. I'm not saying that Trump has done anything at this point that I would say is problematic that I've seen, but I am just concerned. And that's how we need to be as watchmen, you know, Ezekiel, you know, be a watchman, and we need to be a watchman for the church and for God's people. And, you know, we need to be a pillar and a support of the truth, 1 Timothy 3. And that's kind of where I'm at. And so summarize. I'm concerned that we are now fighting a different enemy. And I mean, it's the same enemy, but it's the same enemy because it's Satan, but it's going to be a different battle and a different battle front, but we'll see. I mean, I could be 100% wrong, and we could be, you know, going into the greatest, you know, period of time in the United States history. So, that's what a lot of people are thinking, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're going to cut cost and in the government, and we're going to hold these other countries to account, and, you know, that's, you know, we're going to really fix immigration, and, you know, we're going to make all these, and we have a president now who's going to listen to us on the things that matter. And so, you know, there's a lot of positive, there's a lot of things to be encouraged about, but, you know, I guess I'm being the glass half empty kind of guy in saying that, you know, the enemy doesn't rest, and the enemy doesn't care, you know, which direction he attacks. And we as Christians need to really, you know, Ephesians 6, put on the armor of God, take up the armor of God. We need to be wise as serpents. We need to be understanding that Satan has he has a playbook, and he's willing to change the plays. It doesn't matter to him which direction he attacks. He's just going to try to attack in the most effective way.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think living long enough, as long I've lived, I see things as Satan is very clever and very deceitful, and everything that happens, even if it doesn't go his way, he has like backup plans, and I think we always have to be prepared for that. Like you said, it can come in from a different direction, and you just have to keep, as they would say, keep your eye on the ball, and yes, we'll see what happens. But I agree with you. Again, as we look back at 2024, as we look at the world, you know, we look at what happened to the nation of Israel. They've had an interesting year. Even in Europe, we have, you know, the war still going on in the Ukraine, and all these things building and building and building. You wonder if it's just like a powder keg ready to go.
Well, I think that, my hope is that Trump comes in and brings stability, that he can end the conflict in Ukraine, because I don't, that's to me, that's a place that we shouldn't be. Obviously, you know, we're putting money into it. We're sending arms there. You know, as far as I know, we haven't committed troops to there, but I just don't think that's going to be, I hope that Trump can come in and he can really, you know, get with Putin and they can put an end to that. My prayer is that, you know, our relations with China, that Trump would be able to deal with the trade issues that we have and the aggression that they're starting to show, especially over the past few years with Biden. My hope is that those things begin to change. As far as Israel, yeah, I mean, obviously there's been a lot going on with them and will continue to be. I mean, I think from a eschatology prophecy standpoint, there's going to continue to be a focus on Israel and where it's at and what's going on. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. 2025 is going to be an interesting year. Really, 2025, 26 are going to be interesting.
Yes.
I think there's going to be there's potentially going to be a lot of change. And I think that we have to be wise as we go through that.
What do you think of the impact that with what's going on in Syria is going to have, or you think it will have any impact in the Middle East?
Specifically what?
Well, they lost their president, he fled, and now a lot of Hezbollah and all these, I guess it even is the guys that we were fighting in Iraq. Those guys are all moving into the nation of Syria. And what for me, it looks like what's happening is all this stuff, these guys, these terrorists are moving into Syria. Israel's allowing them to do it. And then they're just going to go in and wipe them out. They're trying to get them all in one spot.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'd have to look at the geography. I mean, it's interesting because the Northern Kingdom of Israel, they were attacked from the north and, you know, from that region. And it's interesting because there's a plateau called the Benjamin Plateau, but then it leads into into an area that's probably, I don't know how wide it is, but it's basically where it's a passageway into Jerusalem from the north. And that was a weakness of the, you know, of Jerusalem, of Israel. But Israel, it's interesting because the northern kingdom stood between, you know, the Assyrians and, you know, in the north, Judah in the south. And so Judah was actually protected by Israel during that period of time. And I bring all that up historically because that has been a weakness for Israel over many years, is that northern passage, you know, from across the Benjamin Plateau and into Jerusalem has been a weakness. And even today, the Benjamin Plateau is not even, as far as I know, it's not populated. And so there's very sparse population in that area. And it's to form a buffer between Israel and Assyria. And so I say all that to say that historically Assyria has been a problem for Israel. And it makes sense that there would be forces amassing from, you know, places that hate Israel, that they'd be amassing into Assyria because it's a direct pipeline right into Jerusalem and, you know, really threatening the security of that nation. And so when you couple that with, you know, how Israel stands with the IDF and their military stance and being willing to do what it takes. Yeah, we could see a major conflict there. And, you know, who knows? It might even be a conflict that leads toward the end. So,
yeah, things are kind of building in that direction.
Sure.
So we do live in crazy times, as you said. But now I just want to, we're looking at 2024. Let's just bring it way local here to Grace Bible Church Gainesville. Our church had a good year. We moved to a new location. And I think, what would you say the theme that we had in 2024? Would it be more eschatology driven? You've been teaching a lot. You taught through Genesis and then went into the eschatology. And then also now we're going through the covenants in our equipping hours, which show a lot of eschatology, why we believe this is the way things are going and they're going to go. So anyway, I'll just throw it over to you. What do you think about 2024 as we look back at Grace Bible Church Gainesville?
Well, I think it's interesting because I think the fresh bread has been a big part of what we do. And so I think, you know, that has been for me one of the highlights of teaching in the ministry has been being able to do this podcast and discuss these things. We definitely moved, and even today we're talking a lot about politics and that sort of thing. So we kind of moved in that direction. I don't think that's been a bad thing because of what, you know, is going on in 2024. We want to be the pillar and the support of the truth. We want to be able to proclaim God's word to a starving world. And, you know, we want to be able to address what's going on. You know, in terms of the church and where we've been, I mean, it's interesting because I think I'm looking back on it with eschatology. I think you and I had talked about it in 2023. That we saw it as something that we needed to do, it needed to be a focus. And I know it hasn't been fully, like, completely popular. Like, I think there's so many different opinions, and even in our own church, there's so many different views. I mean, I say so many, but, you know, probably there's always three or four major views of eschatology, and, you know, maybe three major views. And so, you know, we did do the podcast with, you know, I don't know if it was 2023, 2024, but we did the podcast. I guess it was 2023 because we did the podcast on eschatology. We did, you know, all the major views of eschatology, which kind of led us into 2024. We were looking at, you know, in our hermeneutics equipping class, we were looking at how to interpret scripture and which led us into, you know, eschatology, that direction. And that's where we are. I mean, we're right now, like you say, we're going through the covenants, and, you know, hopefully that's been helpful, and we'll continue to do that going into 2025. And, you know, the idea would be, we just want to equip the saints. We want to equip them in all ways. And, you know, before that, you know, I don't know if you remember, if it was your timing, but, you know, I was really big on Genesis. So Genesis was a fix of mine, and, you know, because we needed to get the beginning right. And I think getting the beginning right helps us get the end right. And so it just makes sense that if, you know, we've laid the foundation over the past several years, we laid the foundation with Genesis. Now we need to, you know, build on that foundation to show, okay, this is because of Genesis, this is what we believe in Revelation or what we believe in eschatology. And so we just want to teach the full counsel of God. We want to teach it from beginning to end. We want to teach it in a way that's winsome and helpful. And so that's, we're going to continue to do that. I think continue to build on that foundation.
So let's move into the future. Let's jump into 2025. What do you think are going to be some big issues? And I just have a few questions here for you. As we look at the dollar, you know, the United States, the dollar is sort of the world currency right now, but we're looking at the Bitcoin and we're heading into cashless society. They want to push that. It seems like we're moving closer to all of that. And I was just going to ask you what you think coming year has for a lot of these things, and how it's going to impact us. You talked about tariffs and things like that. How will that impact us? All these things.
Well, I don't, you know, I'm not a, I can't tell the future, but you know, going to cryptocurrency, it's interesting to me that this is, again, how Satan works, but it's interesting to me that if you went to a digital currency, like a digital dollar, I think that there would be a lot of pushback because, you know, when you go away, you go to a cashless society, you know, now you can actually track every transaction, you know, in that type of society. And I think that's where they want to go, where, you know, a lot of the world leaders want to go, is to where you can track every transaction all the way down to buying a stick of bubblegum and, you know what everybody's doing, you know, based on their financial transactions and, you know, their social media presence and all of that. It's interesting to me that the very people who would be suspect of the government going digital there, but those same people are jumping into the crypto space, you know, like crazy. And so I think that goes back to what I was talking about. You know, as Christians, you know, we need to be careful that as we think through these things, because like I say, the issue with cryptocurrency is that it's going to have potentially all the same things that we're talking about, whether if you go to a digital dollar, and you know, whether it's Bitcoin or whether it's, you know, XRP or XLM or any of the ones that are out there. You know, like I bring up XRP because it's one that actually allows instant transactions, you know, across the world, where you move money across the world at basically instantly. Mm-hmm. And there's a potential to revolutionize, you know, those transactions at a banking level. And so as Christians, we need to be careful and really think through these things in a way that is biblical and that we are looking to the truth, because it's going to be easy potentially to fall for those kind of things.
Yeah. Like you were saying, I think there'd be pushback, but here's the thing I'm wondering is that you can see some kind of a virus or something, like another outbreak happens and they discover that the disease is passed through paper money or coins. So we have to remove all of those out and we go digital. I think more people would be willing to do that, like jump on the bandwagon and say, yeah, let's get rid of this money so no one gets sick. Something like that could happen, right? Where we could move into it.
Yeah, theoretically. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that it's probably going to be just the same as, you know, the phone, you know, our cell phones have become so ubiquitous because you end up, there's an ease to it. It's easy to communicate. It's easy to get on the social media and see what's going on, you know, whether it's X or whether it's Facebook or whatever. I think that people gravitate toward those things because they're fun, they're easy. You know, there's all this information at your fingertips. And it would be, as an example, would be very difficult for many of us to get rid of our phones because they're so convenient, right? Mm-hmm. I can do banking on my phone. I can buy digital currency on my phone. I can, you know, there's just so many, I can buy stocks on my phone. There's so many things I can do with my phone. And so it's hard to get rid of. And so I think that what the danger in terms of digital currency would be the ease of using it. Like it's so easy. Like, and that's why I brought up XRP, is because of the, you know, what they're trying to do. It's a little bit different than Bitcoin and what Bitcoin is, but it's a way to do transactions. And I think that, you know, those things are easy. It's going to bring an ease of those transactions where it's not as hard as it has been in the past. So, you know, it's going to be something that it's a convenience that we're going to want. And that's going to be what brings us into that age, that digital currency age.
Yeah, I agree. I don't like cash. I don't like going and getting it. And then, yeah, I prefer just the little debit card. And it's just so much easier.
Well, yeah. I mean, and you know, the next step really is, the next step is somehow having that tied to your person.
Yeah.
Where you don't have to have a credit card. You know, it's an iScan or it's some sort of mark, you know, the mark of the beast. And so, I mean, you can see us getting there soon.
Oh yeah.
Like within the possibility is there. And, you know, you talk about quantum computing, you talk about how fast the computers are now. You know, I think we're close to being able to build the type of computers that it would take to keep up with every transaction that is happening. And to be able to scan every face on the face of the earth, to be able to see what they, you know, to be able to track your movements and to track your financial, you know, what you're doing financially, to be able to track all of that. I think that's where we're at. And so I think that what's interesting is, as Christians, we don't need to go to sleep thinking, okay, Trump's our president now and there's no danger anymore. And that's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not our savior.
Well, it's not even just that. I mean, you know, the devil disguises himself as an angel of light. And I'm not saying that Trump is the devil. So don't take that. What I'm saying is that the light at the end of the tunnel here might be a freight train. And so that's what I'm concerned about. So yeah. Take that, you know, as far as the listener, as far as you, Keith, take that with as you will, with a grain of salt, because I have no proof. I have no, you know, I have no reason to believe this in terms of what I see. I just have a, there's just something there that I'm not quite able to put my finger on yet. So
absolutely. I don't think, you know, Satan is, you know, trying to figure out what to do next. I think this is going well for him. I think, you know, even Trump coming in is doesn't really faze him that much. I think
it doesn't change his agenda. Doesn't change his overall playbook. It may change the set of plays that he's playing, but you know, like they're going to a football analogy, you know, you may have a different focus. You know, there's a game plan based on the game. You have your playbook. This is your big playbook. And then this is the game plan, because, you know, today we're facing, you know, the Alabama Crimson Tide, and their strengths are what they are. And we have to change the game plan for them. We're still using the same playbook, but we're changing the game plan. And I think that's what is happening at a larger level, is that Satan is still using the same playbook, but I think the focus may change. The game plan may change now that you have this situation with Trump and the coalition that he's brought together.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think he's that clever, where you fight so hard to get something that you think is the best thing to do. And then suddenly you realize that the man or whoever, and I'm not saying Trump is this, but whoever it is turns around and all of a sudden he's got red eyes and you're like, ooh, this is, yeah. That was exactly what. So anyway, okay. So anything else in 2025 to look for? We talked about is Canada and Mexico going to become states? Is that part of that?
I don't know about that. I mean, I think, you know, there is a little bit of momentum toward Canada. I haven't heard that with Mexico, but there is a little bit of momentum with Canada. But, you know, ultimately, I'd be really surprised if that happens. There's a possibility of us buying Greenland. Also a possibility of taking it back over the Panama Canal. But, yeah, I mean, those are things that are potential. And I think I honestly think ultimately it's a more bluster on you know, Trump's part, you know, to get what he really wants, you know, whatever that is, whether it be more equitable trade or whether it be immigration or whatever it is, you know, that's what he's going to want is those things. So I think it's for him, it's just creating a, you know, a bunch of concern so that he can get what he really wants.
But, yeah. I've also heard that the tariffs that, you know, they sound like a good idea. I think it is good in the long run, but I think in the short run, it's going to cause a little bit of change, because we've talked about groceries and people want grocery prices to come down. Tariffs would probably not help right away, but I think in the long run it might. But then who knows what would happen if another
president... The only way it helps is if we are able to mobilize our country to get back to building, you know, growing food and building things that, you know, to support our own country. So, you know, get back to good manufacturing in the United States, get back to, instead of buying everything from China, we you know, build it ourselves, but you have to build the workforce, because it's, you know, we've been, you know, now 30 years probably in a situation where we are totally dependent upon China and, you know, in terms of the things that we bring in. And it's been at its cheap goods that have been coming, flooding into our country. And we've, you know, we've binged on those cheap goods for years. And so, you know, it's going to take, you know, 10, 15, 20 years to build the workforce back up, in my opinion. And even what's going on in the education system and some of the things that need to be dealt with there. And so it's a long-term project to get back to where we need to be. And so I think there is going to be some pain in the transition.
Yeah.
If we ultimately go that way.
Yeah. And like, we could do a whole 2 hours on 2025, really on like even immigration and all the stuff that they've done, you know, bringing in people and just dropping them off in small towns in the Midwest. And
yeah,
I don't know how that's going to work. Like I don't mind immigration. I love it. But like you said, you can bring in the bright and the best, or people who just are looking for a better life. But I was thinking the other day when I was a kid, and I know I'm old, but I was born, you know, I'm a child from the 1900s. You'd walk into a store around Christmas and everybody was kind of in the same mode. Like there was a Christmas feeling. Everybody was upbeat. Everyone was friendly. Now when you walk into a store, you've got, you know, everyone's speaking different languages. I don't even know what they're doing. They're not making eye contact with you. There's just a different feel in the world today than there was, you know, when I was a youngster before.
Well, I think that, you know, as old guys, we definitely need to learn to change, and, you know, that it's okay for the country to, you know, go through transitions. And I do think that we have a common language, and if you come to the United States, you ought to, you know, adopt that common language. And I think that, you know, it's okay if you want to keep, I'm not against keeping your own customs and that sort of thing to kind of hold on to that. But there needs to be some assimilation in terms of, you know, speaking the same language and understanding, you know, the things that are important to Americans, you know, whether you bring up Christmas holidays or you bring up, you know, 4th of July, or you bring up the things that we find we hold dear, you know, freedom, you know, if they're going to come to the United States, they need to adopt those things. But, you know, that again, you know, we need to be willing to, as a country, we need to be willing to embrace people who are different. And we don't want to go so far the other direction. And that's my biggest concern is going, you know, now everything immigration is bad. And that's not true. I mean, we want good immigration. We want good people. We want good people who are law abiding, who are hardworking to come into this country to make us more competitive. Right. And, you know, and I'm afraid that there's going to be some pushback that way.
Our immigration right now is 90% bad, but it's okay.
Yeah. You want to get to it 90% good.
Yes. No, I'm kidding. I don't like change. So stop saying that about me, but no, that's okay. I know what you're saying. I agree with you. I'm just saying, I think what they're doing, how they're doing it is wrong. I just don't like I think people need to, come here, but here and have almost a history class. And this is the history of the United States.
They need to go through the process of becoming citizens. They need to go through the right process, and the right process needs to be robust to, you know, show people what the values of being an American is, you know, what it means to be an American.
Yeah.
And I think there needs to be a common language, because I think that's what is going to bring us together. It's what brings people together is a common language. And so, yeah, it strengthens the country. And so, yes, I'm all for that. I'm just saying that we as on the other side, as Americans, we need to be willing to embrace, you know, different cultures that are coming in and understand that there's good things that they're going to bring, that they can bring. I mean, as an example, you know, people who are coming in, Hispanics who are coming in, you know, they're more family oriented than we are. It's funny because my sister is married to a guy from Mexico, and the family is huge, and that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing, right? I mean, it's a good thing, and we don't need to be afraid of that. So,
yeah, I don't know if you're aware of this, but there were Irish people and German people, Italian people, all immigrated to the United States way back in the day, and they brought their culture with. I mean, we have spaghetti, pizza, we have hamburgers, all these things came, and I'm all in favor of that. I love it, especially when they bring the food with them, and it's good.
Yeah, I like Mexican food. I love Mexican food. So, but again, we need to retain what it means to be an American.
Right.
And we need to teach them what it means to be an American. And, you know, there's values that we have that they need to understand. and they need to embrace.
Absolutely. So we'll see what happens in 2025 and beyond, and how this melting pot melts, or is it going to be separate?
Yeah.
So what are you seeing for 2025 for Grace Bible Church Gainesville? What do you want to focus on?
Yeah, my heart, I think you and I talked before the podcast, my heart is that we need to learn what it means to live in the body, life in the body. We're going to have the retreat coming up in February. I really want to focus on those aspects of living within the body and our responsibilities as members of the body, and you know who we ought to be, what our responsibility is toward the rest of the church, and what the church's responsibility is for us. And you know, I just want us to grow in that way. I want us to grow in our unity and understanding of who we are and in Christ. And I want us to understand, you know, who we ought to be in terms of the body of Christ and what we ought to be doing. And you know, that part of that comes down to philosophy of ministry and, you know, the exaltation of God, the exposition of Scripture, the equipping of the saints, and evangelism. You know, we want to be doing those things, but I want to flesh that out a little bit more for us in the next few months. And so that's my heart. You know, we'll continue through Matthew in terms of where I'm preaching, and I think you'll continue through Psalms. That'll be good. But I think a good focus for us in the at least in the first quarter of this year, and we'll see how far that goes, but would be life in the body and really focusing on what it means to be a Christian in the church and what it means to be a part of Grace Bible Church and what Grace Bible Church means to our community and to, you know, to the world around us. And so that's where I want to go and the focus I want to have going forward in this 2025.
So for 2025, it's life in the body. That's the main focus.
Well, right now, yes. I mean, we could change that, and then, you know, let's for sure the first quarter, because we'll have the retreat in end of February, and then we'll kind of follow up on that. We'll see where the Lord leads us from there, but I definitely want to just focus on that over the next couple, 2-3 months.
And that's going to incorporate giving, fellowship, learning, growing parts, right?
Yeah, church discipline, I think, is another one. Yeah, fellowship, unity, giving would be, you know, the responsibility there. Yeah, I mean, there's several responsibilities that we have that we need to, you know, corporate worship, you know, attending and being a part of corporate worship and prioritizing that, you know, prioritizing gathering in different, you know, ways, you know, whatever's available. Serving is a big one. You know, we need to be Christians who serve, being willing to move chairs around and do the things that need to be done, you know, do the dirty work. You know, that's the sort of stuff that I want to really focus on.
It's people using their gifts, right?
Yeah.
If you're musically inclined, we'd love to have you sing or play an instrument or.
Yeah, it's using whatever gift the Lord has given you. And, yeah. You know, the Holy Spirit has given you at salvation and, you know, using those to God's glory. And that's the sort of stuff that I want to see us focus on, you know, 2025, at least starting the year.
All right. Well, I think I think we pretty much wrapped up the past and the present and the future, what's going to go on in 2024, 2025. And we do thank everyone for listening to Fresh Bread, our podcast. Like Brandon said, we started this a couple of years ago, and it has been beneficial for us, at least, to think things through. And like you said, I think we are the 20th most popular podcast in Gainesville, and even though there's just 21 podcasts, but we're still proud of that. We want to thank you guys for listening. You've been listening to Fresh Bread, a podcast ministry of Grace Bible Church Gainesville. For more information, go to gracegainesville.org. And thanks for listening.